there you go. Welcome to the Scribble Show. We're back and we're on an outside broadcast. How good's that, Steve?
Fantastic. Yes. We're going to have a break after 30 minutes and have a PIMS.
Underneath the umbrella in the glorious sunshine. Unfortunately, it's in my back garden. But hey, some you win, some you lose.
It's fine, yeah.
Yeah, it'll do the job. So we thought we'd bring the kit out today and we start the programme off out in the sun because it's getting close to summer and we thought we'd take full advantage of it today. So pin your ears back because today we've got some great music on the go. We've got our usual classic to start with, where we get some great production values. And then as we move through, we've got the usual Poet's Dream. Then we're going to do the Poem Cubely. And we've picked a Poem of the Week this week. We have.
And?
Yeah.
And?
Oh, yes.
And. Yes. You're reading live now.
I'm reading live.
Have you forgotten? Yeah. I need to remind
yes,
you.
Yes, I was hoping you'd probably
Poem
forget
police.
That one. Well, we'll give it a go and see how far we get with that one. Anyway, let's start the programme off. Just before we do that, actually, just a big shout out to Alan Johnson. Spoke to him this morning. He's out of hospital, and the mad fool is actually going to broadcast tomorrow after bypass surgery. He's going to broadcast The World Comes to You tomorrow.
Yeah. So it might do him good.
I think it will, actually. He might be housebound, he might be chairbound, but he can still use a mic.
Yeah, so, well, good luck, Alan.
Yeah, good luck with that, mate.
Good to see you back on your feet.
Yeah, crack on with that. Right, let's kick it off with a piece by Michael R. Justice on Becoming Less Than Nothing. And this is a really nice piece. Have a listen to this, Steve.
I'm becoming less than nothing. Once you were nothing, then you were you. Up you came from an empty womb, and life filled your eyes and heart. And when you grew, out you struck, out you went to fight for your right of life. For better or for worse, you who were once one, strong and one, strong and dreaming, young and fully standing upright, full of steamy fight and froth. You failed and fought, grew hard and strong, until the day you became two, and life became a dance. Defense and win, love, falter, fail and rise. Compassion, pain and passion. Then you became three. You struggled to feed and breathe life and hope and a future into someone other than just the one or the two, now you. You are becoming again one. One, bowed and gray. And you who are becoming less than nothing. No, now minus less than nothing. What can you do? The dust you loved, fought, and lived upon was the endeavor of all the ones before you. You'll out, you'll scatter, and blow on the wind like particles of dust in the light. You'll become less than nothing.
What a start to the show, Neil.
What a cracking start that, isn't it?
Great production, great voice, great poem.
Always produces something really worthwhile listening to. So a cracking piece of poetry, beautiful production on it. Really good. So a great way to start the show off. Now, this week I've been a bit out of the game because I've been up in the Lake District. Enjoying myself, walking in the hills, enjoying a bit of the sunshine and nature. And that's why we came outside today as well. I don't know whether the listeners can hear the birds singing. Let's just have a let's tune in on the headphones. No, I can hear a car instead. Well, there you go.
Great timing, Neil.
Superb. You might pick the sound of the birds up later. Anyway, what have you been up to? You've been busy week?
I've had a busy week work, Neil. As you know, last week I didn't do a great deal. But this week I've done a great deal.
Any golf on this weekend?
Yes, every Saturday.
Every Saturday, good
without
man.
Fail.
Yeah, that's
either that or Tesco.
Yeah, golf wins every time, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You got it all the way. Right, moving on to PoetStream. We're big supporters, and they're big supporters of ours, of PoetStream. And we've got a couple from them now. We're going to do Sia Greenhorn. She's been on the programme before. And so has R.C. De Winter, who's straight after. But two good, really good poets. So let's kick off with...
I think, Neil, I'm right in saying Sia posts an awful lot of work on April Showers as well.
She does?
Yes. Yeah.
I'd say what would be interesting, I must get in touch with the lady from April Showers to see how the broadcast went.
Yeah, we've heard nothing, have we?
Yeah, we've heard nothing on that. So I'll get in touch with her. Let's find out what's going on. Give everybody an update on it. Right, let's have a listen to Sia Greenhorn.
Earth Reclaimed by Sia Greenhorn. Legends of a golden age or blessed era of sinlessness exist among Egyptians, Mexicans, Peruvians, and Tibetans too. They also spoke of tragedy, a fall into sin, where deep darkness begins to drive the light of righteous to flicker and die within, growing nations feeding no hungry desires to try to rekindle a worthy fire or zeal for cultivating gardens of fruitages divine, like posies of meekness and peace and roses of simply kind. Though distorted, yes, embellished these stories grew, yet many common threads weave harmoniously through, verifying not coincidence, but truth. Were world accounts tied to historical events? Indeed, does not an image emerge mirroring Genesis' chronology of mankind's descent, lacking the mystery and vagueness of fantasy, but embedded with specifics which validate authenticity, heaven sent? Over time, prophecy revealed this message of hope, multitudes of meek to thrill. This light traveled up a mountainous hill, lighting the way back to man's beginning, perfection with families taught God's will and purpose where dangerous were not. His son spoke of blessings future fulfilled, meek to inherit a spiritually hungry field under a kingdom established to finish Father's will. Be fruitful and become many. Yes, fill the earth with future sons of God chosen with Christ to reign, since only these and not angels can understand mankind's now suffering and pain in all our land. Yes, a victory over death the struggling righteous will gain, and harmony between heaven and earth again reclaimed.
The thing I like about Sia is everything she produces is something different. I just like the way she puts them together, so it was really good. That keep on posting them, Sia, we'll keep on broadcasting them. Now moving on to R.C. De Winter, who's a bit of the same actually. Everything she produces all very observational stuff that they put together, and R.C. De Winter's of the in the same mould, and a real classic poet. So have a look at it.
Looking forward to this.
Yeah, here we go.
Last night I dreamed of Portland Head, a place visited only once, with you. My first wrong choice in a procession of unsuitables. Why would I dream of that night on the cliffs, the wind whipping clouds into a froth and biting through my summer sweater, too light for Maine's fall? You silent and morose, the way you always were after seeing your mother. I never miss you in my consciousness. The memories of our great mistake are barely serviceable as such. More like smears of neural error than of truth. Cringeworthy fragments of my introduction to temptation. Sex. Self-loathing. Many more mistakes were made. Perhaps, even in my waning, I will make more. Though I think I've mastered most of my stupidity. But let me thank you for the highlight of the years we wasted, the only legacy of you I cherish. Watching the grease slide down the dingy wall of your apartment, shards of cheap china caressing my bare feet, after having thrown that plate of food at your head.
See. How many times have you felt like throwing a plate of food at somebody's head?
Yeah, what a great line to finish on.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite, and she always does that with a lot of her poetry. She finishes it up with something which, you know, well, right, come, got that. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good Oasis.
I think I'm too greedy to owe a plate of food, really.
Yes, right, yeah. I'll have to clean it off first.
Yes.
Be an empty plate of food coming at your head, coming at you. Right, just so that everybody knows, we are out in the garden. It is summer-ish, and people are cutting the lawn, so you might get a bit of interference, a bit of ambience running in the background there.
Ambience. Is that poet's spin?
Yes, poet's spin for today.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Gretel Feeson, not been on the program once before.
North of the border.
North of the border, Scots. So we're going to support the Scots now.
Aye.
Have a listen to this one.
Questions, bloody questions. Words best kept confined. The ones that roam about inside like rodents, rats and mice. It's what you built this prison for, yet still you come to hide. Don't mention this or goodbye bliss. It's time to choose a side.
That was it. Short and sweet. Yeah, very good. It's something about that Scottish accent when they do it, isn't it?
Yep.
It just draws you in.
Yeah, it's just reminded me of something.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm going to have another wee dram tonight.
Friday
night whiskey.
Two wee drams. Yes. I might join you with that one. Yes, that was good. When I was up in the lakes, interestingly enough, I didn't do... There you go. Can you hear that, listeners? Right on cue.
Yeah.
Super. Bit of background. So it sets the context, doesn't it?
Yeah.
English country garden, lawnmower.
Sit on mower,
sort of.
Yeah.
Birds tweeting in the trees.
Yeah.
All we're short of now is a dog barking. That can be arranged.
Any minute now.
So, while I was away, I know I was in Wordsworth country and we're in Coleridge country, up in the Lake District. Didn't do much looking at poultry. Was too busy looking at the scenery, but I know you walk up there as well. You can see why these guys got inspired by it, can't
absolutely,
you?
Neil.
Absolutely stunning, eh?
I mean, people say the lakes are busy.
Yeah.
But there's loads and loads of places where you can get solitude, a view, peace and quiet.
Yeah, because people tend to go to the same spots, don't they? They either float down to the side of Windermere, and then they very rarely stretch off to Grasmere and up to Derwent Water.
Yeah.
And you go even further, don't you?
I've been all over, Neil. I've walked in the lakes for 40 years.
Yeah.
The only place I haven't been is Baver. Purposely.
Yeah. Well, I have been there.
Apologies to anybody from Barrow.
Yeah. Good job,
Barrow,
isn't it? Barrow.
If you're from the south.
From south. Barrow in Furness, if you're on south. If you're from north, Barrow.
Barrow.
We're not going to Barrow. Right. Moving along. 20-second jingle now for The World Comes to You. They're back on air tomorrow.
Fabulous. Come on, Alan.
So, come on, Alan. Here we go. Here's your jingle with Jeff doing his... little bit for them. Here we
Well, hello. The world comes to you here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone. Oh. So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The world comes to you.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
Do you know, Neil, I really wish they'd let Jeff out of the box.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? It was really good because, well, I've been away all week and they got a bit worried because I forgot to say to them, I'm not around for the week. So they were getting a bit concerned as to what had happened. And when I got back late last night, I messaged Susan, who's covering for Alan while he's recovering, and said, okay, I've left everything to the last minute. What do we need to produce for The World Comes to You? Because we want to keep it alive while he's been away. Now he's back, so we don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
Having said that, I think we'll still put some of the World Comes to You poets in the mix every week. And promote it, because every Saturday, around about 12 o'clock, they're going to be broadcasting.
Yeah, and I imagine they're promoting our programme.
Yeah, they are. They're doing a great job.
It's
they always mention us.
Neil.
Yeah, it all adds to covering as many poets as we can. Yeah. So I picked a couple, and then... I said to Susan, I could do with one of yours. So you're first up, Susan. She's actually recorded this. It's called The Subway.
Because it was her first attempt last week at recording on her own.
It was, yeah.
Was
so,
that Sit in the Park? Or?
Yeah, Sit in the Park. Yeah, this one's now about the Subway. It's a good one, this one. Have a listen to this.
The Subway by Susan Worrell. The subway was dismal. Lighting was scarce. I'd been warned for safety to travel in pairs. But found myself walking that day all alone. The path through the subway, my only way home. I held tight my bag, quickened my pace. I saw a slight figure, a mask covering the face. On the figure a hoodie pulled over the head. As I approached nearer, my heart filled with dread. I wish I'd listened to the friendly advice, but ignoring the warnings, my regular vice. I bowed down my head, quickened my step. As the figure stood up, I was holding my breath. Spare me some change, please, I heard a soft voice. It was a young girl I heard, not a thug of a boy. She removed her mask, revealing her face. What could she be doing in this god-awful place? She looked very young, under 16. I found myself wondering how her childhood had been. To end up like this, begging all day. Was she thrown out, or did she just run away? I found myself asking what led to her plight. She said it came to her head one Saturday night. She'd been to a party, got in the wrong crowd. She took drink and drugs, of this she weren't proud. She rode with her parents, they threw her out. She found herself homeless, wandering about. As she spoke, my heart melted. I vowed there and then to find this girl's parents and unite them again. I bought her some food, lent her my phone. She cried tears of joy when a voice said, "Come home."
Excellent.
Oh, that was great, that one.
Very real. That's
it was
real life.
And I think that's the thing with Susan. She just looks at real life and she just produces these wonderful pieces of work. Cracking. She was going to do one about Down syndrome, but she didn't have time to record it last night, so she sent me that one instead, which I thought was just stunning. But it reminded me, you were talking before we came on air, you were in Manchester this week.
I went to
you?
Manchester on Wednesday, Neil, for a business appointment, and I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah.
And here's one of the perils of Google Maps. So I'm on Oxford Road in Manchester, put the postcode in the Google map, followed it to the letter, and it took me into a pretty dangerous situation.
Especially there, with your suit
I was
on.
Suited, booted, leather briefcase,
yeah.
iPhone, just following that, you know, head down, trying to follow the map.
Yeah.
And it was me and a few young guys on bikes.
Tasty geezers on these little bikes that are on,
Anyway. Mm. No harm done. Got out of it. Never again.
But the interesting thing is, when you listen to Susan's piece there, I mean, they could have been okay, these guys. It's just our perception of them, isn't it? You just feel nervous, don't you?
You do.
I've noticed it when I've been in Manchester. And, and you and I are well-travelled at the end of the day and potentially could handle ourselves. Well, we used to be able to. Probably not anymore. But you still feel a bit nervous, don't you?
I more and more these days, Neil.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, whether as you get older you see the danger more or,
yeah.
or whether it is a little bit more dangerous than it was, but... There's also, you know, a massive amount of good people out there, and we shouldn't forget that.
Yeah,
so,
we should,
you know,
indeed.
And maybe it's, we've got to look for good in people.
Yeah, I think so.
Just before you get mugged.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I really like it. Don't mug me.
But it was a great piece of work again.
It was, really good piece of work. Now, we're going to go to one of our favourite poets now. Part of the World Comes to You and Scribble Show and everywhere else. The Birkenhead poet, Paul Griffiths.
Right.
That is. Now... Susan sent me one of his and said, this is one we should do. And I read it and thought, yeah, it's really cool, that. But I had this one in the background called Farty Facts.
Right.
And only Paul could get away with this. So I thought we'd play Farty Facts because it's quite funny. It's quite amusing. Have a listen.
Hi, Paul Griffiths here, also known as the Birkenhead Poet. Big shout out to everyone at Scribble, Neil and the gang, for the work they're doing in promoting new poetry and verse and writing in general. This is a funny poem, I hope you, it raises a chuckle. It's called Farty Facts. A fart is a bubble of methane gas, a little seismic eruption from the ass. People frown on its bodily function and try to keep it up the junction. But that won't bring you in a piece, just let rip that sweet release. It's time for a chuckle, give a sigh, or use the option to deny. A fart is healthy, it's how the body works, just a rear-ended bottom burp. Some people feel embarrassed from the shame of it. You can trap a fart, but you never can tame it. So farting is good, it does you well. There's only one drawback, and that's the smell. The noisy one, the smell passes fast, but those silent ones are like tear gas. They knock you bandy and they tend to linger, leaving everyone to point the guilty finger. Where the one who dealt it won't take the blame, sitting there in the chair of shame. doesn't want to be the object of derision for opening the cage and let Polly out of prison. So don't feel ashamed, it's a natural thing. The answer, my friend, is just blowing in the wind. Thanks very much, everyone. Good night.
He's right, isn't he?
I have actually been in extensive negotiations with Radio 4 to take our show, Neil.
And I've just blown it.
You've blown it all the way on. But, you know, a cracking piece of
it was. Yeah, nice. I've enjoyed that one, Paul. Brilliant job. Yeah. Right, Rob Moore's the last one that we're going to do for The World Comes to You. And he did a piece called Gentleman Warrior. And I recorded it for them this morning because he didn't have time to actually do it. So it's not very long, but I've listened to that. I thought it was quite good, this.
Okay.
Because it talks of our age group, really.
What are you pointing at me for?
Sorry, my age group. Let me just remove the finger of fate.
I'm half a generation behind you.
Most people are. Here we go.
As I continue to march forward along this lonely road, reflecting upon my adherence to a gentleman warrior's code, what it means to me and the people that I love and protect is how we must always treat each other with mutual respect. I am a gentleman because I was raised to treat women right, warrior because I have been trained to not be afraid to fight. My code will always keep me on track with dignity and pride, always willing to express myself about the way I feel inside. I conduct myself with honour and integrity above all reproach. Honesty, beauty, freedom and love are what I cherish most.
You Brilliant. See, when I listened to that, it reminded me of you.
In what way, Neil?
The fact that integrity and honesty and not being afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Mm. It just, when I read it, I thought, I'll Steve that.
Mm.
And that's why I recorded it for the show. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's good. Good piece.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nice and short, but very succinct.
Just remind me again, Neil, who's...
New guy on the show, Rob Moyle. Not been on the programme before.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, it's a really good piece.
Send some more stuff in.
Yeah, well done that, mate. Super. Right, Mike Provenzano's been on the programme before, and he sent us a piece through while I was away this week called Another Year.
Okay.
So have a listen to this one.
Another year. I look back in amazement, my life's shock full of awe. Its achievements, its incompletes, few shortcomings, its slight flaws. Successes I relate, disguised bright in color, silver lined my mistakes, one more down under cover. I reflect its epiphanies, another year now set free. Gravitational include time, its blatant agenda leave my youth be. Your rules I've played with new wrinkles, sport and style. Kiss my arse, suck on this. Rewind, I revolt, at least pause for a while.
Nice one, Mike. Thank you very much for sending that one in. Another year. Love it.
Mm.
Really good. Summed everything up, so it was really good. We were just chatting before we came on air about Poem Kubli, and we did make a promise last week that we'd pick a poem of the week, just for a bit of fun, didn't we?
Yep.
It wouldn't be a competition. Well, the one that we chosen actually happens to be the Poem Kubli one as well, so we kind of killed two birds with one stone on this one. And it's the Poem Kubli poem's called Play by AF North. Mm. We'll just play the intro to Poem Kubli so everybody knows what it's about, and then we'll go straight into her poem, which I read this morning. So, get your ears around this one, mate.
12 poems, 2 words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli. The lives of toys are a bit different, you see, from yours and mine and most of the gentry. For one thing, they hang about quite a bit longer, maybe because they are terrible at numbers. Dust and quiet, the order of the day, when the house is shut and no children play. Tin Soldier and Pooh always do their best to boost morale and cheer up the toy chest. One day the mood was electric and gossip flew. Word from the kitchen gnome was too good to be true. The boy is coming home on the midday train. Get ready, we shall hear him laughing again. Pooh and the bears thoroughly brushed their hair. Steam engine polished his tracks with care. Tin Soldier found his missing button and boot. And Noah herded the animals 2 by 2. Noon faded to dusk and the toys began to fret. Their imagination ran wild, is he not here yet? Night fell and once more came word from the kitchen gnome I wasn't wrong after all, our boy did come home. The toys sat and listened, none spoke and some wept. He died in something called a war, the gnome said. He's in a toy box at the church now, all alone, with his name and his birthday written down in stone. Many years have since passed, but the toys still speak of the boy they loved and lost that week. They patiently dream in their attic hideaway that one day he'll step from the box to come laugh and play.
You know what, I know, so I say a lot of AF North stuff, and it always starts off with this kind of frivolous, quiet bit of fun. There's always a real sort of hard-hitting bit at the end of it, and that's what she did.
Yeah,
with this
good.
One. And that's why I thought, yeah, not only was it Poem Kubli of the Week, I really liked the way it was put together.
Yeah, so that's our Poem of the Week, Neil.
Yeah, our Poem of the Week and Poem Kubli's as well.
Yeah, so, and let's just reiterate, it doesn't detract from all the fantastic work.
Absolutely.
It's just one we wanted to highlight.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Because the work that we get in is absolutely stunning. In fact, the hardest bit we have every week is choosing what goes in. It's a real challenge week after week after week. You're going through it and going, well, who's not been on before? God, that's cracking. Then somebody who's been on the show the week before, you think, hold on a minute, that needs to go in as well. So
yeah, and I think what we've probably never done, Neil, is invite the listeners to give us some feedback if they think there's some style of poetry that's missing.
Yeah.
Because we have got quite a different variety of styles to choose from.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
So
maybe that's it. Let's a bit of a shout out. If you think that we're missing out on some of the styles that are out there, we're trying to cover as many as we can. But if you think that we're missing one, let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll pick it up and
put it in. Or if you want a bit more of one thing and a bit less of one thing.
Yeah.
Because
the feedback we had originally was we don't want everything with music behind it. You know, we want some with just the voice on. So we kind of changed to meet that as well.
Yeah.
So we're trying to alter things to
keep
up.
We're here for the listeners.
We are indeed. Yeah. Not for our own amusement.
Well, I don't know. I enjoy it every week.
Right, moving on. So we've done AF North. Great. Love it. We're going to do a piece by David Lewis Padgett. He's been on the show once before, and he's written this piece, The Scribe in the Woods of Time. It's really good. He's got loads of work, by the way. Must have hundreds and hundreds of pieces. Get over to YouTube. Have a look for David Lewis Padgett.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of him. Brilliant stuff. Really good. Have a listen.
The scribe in the woods of time. There's an ancient wood where nobody goes that's hid in the mists of time. It covers 100 miles or so to the west of the Eden line. The passengers on the rattling train will pull at the blinds and stare. But no one's game to get off the train with the howl of the wolves out there. And the stories told of walkers who have never come back to tell, of monstrous birds that tore at their throats, of blood congealed in a well. There are cats out there as big as goats, the snakes are draped in the trees, and vampire bats float down in a cloud, and there's more than a passing breeze. So none will venture into the wood, not now or in times gone by. The bones that line the undergrowth are a lesson for you and I. But deep within is a clearing there, a chimney that belches smoke, a cottage door that is left ajar, and hung on a hook, a cloak. The cottage has stood there undisturbed since 1609. A man who sits at the writing desk is writing outside of time. He whips up storms in the Balkans, conjures thunderheads in the States, with every swirl of his feather quill. Tornadoes twirl or abate. He hasn't the time to trim his beard, it curls right down to the floor. His eyebrows droop down over his eyes, his hair is a nest for sure. Where eaglets peck and nip at his skull, he brushes the birds away and dips his quill in the ink he spills from the blood of an old dismay. He marshals armies across the seas, prefers to put them to flight. Their weapons gone as a harsh moon shone, the soldiers melt in the night. He topples princes, he topples kings, the fate of their wives is worse. He packs them up to the guillotine, but he always does it in verse. Then when the sun sinks under the rim of the world in its daily round, he sits in the cottage cloaked in gloom and his face turns into a frown. And he lifts his eyes to the stars above, makes one of his heartfelt pleas. Allow me to scribble the end, my lord. But a silence rings through the trees.
Well, there you go. David Lewis Padgett. Mm. I just love the way he plays around with the words, and you know, and it was a bit about the beard. You and I sat here both with goatees. I mean, yes. What's that all about?
I don't know, Neil.
We're getting very bohemian in our old age.
I've got past the point of caring what I look like.
Yeah, me too. I might even grow a ponytail, and then maybe not. I've got enough hair on my head to do
that. I can make you one. A blue Peter. Are we at that time of the show now, Neil?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm going to bite the bullet. You did it last week, didn't you?
Well, I did it last week, and we mentioned, a couple of poems ago, we talked about the Kubli.
Yeah.
And I think we're about to hear your attempt at this week's Kubli.
Yeah, I was given
the challenge.
Two words. Two words, apocalypse and donut.
No, that's the first week that you've ever known what the words are.
Yeah, this first week. The only reason I know it is because I thought, if I've got to read this, I better know what they are.
Yeah. So they are apocalypse and donut.
And I was in a bit of a quandary as to what to write, and I'm not big on love poems because I don't do love poems because I'm...
Although you are a bit of a romantic, Neil.
Yeah, well, you know, you need to speak to the wife. I think you might find that's not right. Anyway, I gave it a go with this one. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Here we go. It's called Love. Love can be sweet, gentle, tender, sensual. It can sweep you along in a tide of potential. That touch, that feel and expectance. Blah, 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 blah.
Shall I start again?
I think I'll try that one again.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Live on air.
Live on air. Love. See, everybody makes a mistake. Especially me. Love can be sweet, gentle, tender, sensual. It can sweep you along in a tide of potential. That touch, that feel and expectation unreal. It blinds you, enchants you, makes your mind reel. Remember the days as you walked hand in hand along a shoreline, emerald seas, golden sands. Sat in a cafe, sharing a donut, chatting and laughing, not wanting to shut up. The world looked brighter, fresher, lighter. Conversation never dull, you always exciter. You listen intently, never distracted, always reactive. The voice of a goddess, she looks so attractive. The years pass by, a family is started, together forever, no need to be parted. Children become teenagers, then on to be grown-ups. There have been good times, tough times, and occasional bust-ups. The apocalypse arrives when your loved one dies. You lie in the bed, tears welling up in your eyes. You would sell your soul to feel her touch, to listen to her voice, tell her you love her so much. There's a hole in your body, in your heart, in your mind. It cannot be repaired by surgery or time. It hurts and it burns. You grieve for your loss. Hold her image in your mind. Feel alone, feeling lost. Got it the second time.
Good poem though, Neil.
It was all right. I enjoyed writing that one.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a real challenge getting those two words into a poem.
Yeah, trying to wrap them into a poem. Some of the work that these guys do is absolutely phenomenal with them.
Yeah.
And you could have gone down the route of writing something about an apocalypse while you sat there chewing on a donut watching the end of the world, and I thought, nah.
No.
I can't do that.
It fitted nicely into there, Neil.
Yeah. So I was pleased with that one.
So I think we should just, for the listeners' benefit, you know, I did one last week, you've done one this week.
Yeah.
It's a rare occurrence. We're not going to take up airtime for our stuff generally, but you might hear from us again in a few weeks' time.
You certainly will. In the next couple of weeks, Steve's back on the game, and he'll be doing another one of his. So that's all we're going to do. We're going to split it up. Once every couple of weeks, or once a month, you'll hear at least one of us doing one of our pieces. What just to show you that.
We do something.
Occasionally.
Yes.
Right, moving along to probably a really better poet than I am and as good as you are, and that would be Karen King.
Oh,
it was really good. We've had Karen on the show a number of times. Have a listen to Karen's.
Hello, everybody. This is Karen from Dunstable, Bedfordshire, England. This poem was written on Christmas Day. It is about an event that happened on the 24th of December. Okay, so it's copyright 24th of December 2015. Tramp in a tent. The tramp now has a tent. He feels as if it's been heaven sent. The boy saw him with his mum after school. He didn't like to see the tramp so cool. Bare branches dripped from the rain and the tramp looked rather lame. The tramp sat nursing his feet on the ground. Next to him were clothes piled in a mound. The boy told his mum to go to Asda for food. To ignore the tramp would have been so rude. So they fetched him sandwiches and a cup of tea. The tramp rubbed his hands delightedly. They found out the tramp lost his home, did not get help and was all alone. The council and job centre took too long to tick the right boxes, so it all went wrong. He was left wandering the streets with no address. The future looked bleak. The boy told the school about his friend and how he would like his body to mend. The boy and his mum pitched the tent in the park with no mortgage or rent. Friends brought blankets and food to the tramp. They even gave him a special lamp. The DJ from the local radio station decided to wake up the nation. He put an announcement on his show, telling them where they needed to go. Help this poor man in his new home. Let him know he is not alone. A friend decided to invite him for Christmas dinner, a bed for the night the tramp was on to a winner. The tramp's body started to heal as he ate his pigs in blankets in his meal. He felt like them, so cosy he did feel. He felt very grateful on this special day and hoped the love was here to stay. He realised that his heart was no longer sad. A miracle this was. He was alive and glad. He felt blessed to be warm and dry. If you wonder what's happening, look at the sky. Last night was a full moon surrounded in love. A circle surrounded it with love from above. Think of the people who brought food to our friend. I feel positive that all our hearts will soon mend. People of all religions and races open their hearts to help the spiritual soul in the park. The tramp now has a tent. He feels as if it's been heaven sent. I hope you all enjoyed that. It's a true story as well. Thank you. Bye.
That's quite nice. That was a true story. It was good. Yeah.
Cam's got quite a distinct style, hasn't she? Everything she sends in is that sort of rhythm and everything.
It is, yeah. It's really good. I do like the way she puts things together. Mm. So she's always welcome on the programme. So the more stuff you send through to us, Karen, the more we'll broadcast them. So Karen's been on the show before. We're going to play a piece, excuse me, by, I can't remember now, Brown Mountain Lights it's called. And it's a spoken word piece. Have a listen to this and I'll track his name down. Have a listen.
Before the war between the states, I was young and alone. I met and married a man named Jim. Brown Mountain was my home. In forests of green and gray I walked, in a place so rich and wild. I would dream of times to come when I'd have my own sweet child. Well, times were hard, and love was brief. And Jim's heart, well, he wasn't true. He loved me once, he loved me twice. And then he turned to someone new. Deep inside, life's tender form given by heaven's grace, it was to be my only crime, deserving of his hate. Ah, the distance between two hearts can be greater than the sea. Mourn thou the loss of love and what could never be. The story of betrayal is as old as bones are dry. The whispering wind is witness to love lost on this mountainside. Heard the wind a-calling me, whispering my name. Belinda, take the lamp and run, for you can't remain. It was the very darkest heart who would not hear my plea. It was the very blackest night when he took my life from me. The distance of two hearts can be greater than the sea. Mourn now the loss of love and what could never be. The story of betrayal is as old as bones are dry. The whispering wind is witness to love lost on this mountainside. The village folk searched high and low. They never found a trace. But lights that they could not explain kept the sky ablaze. Look and see the gift which glows, bright at eventide, ruby red and glints of gold dance in the midnight sky. The distance of two hearts can be greater than the sea. Mourn now the loss of love and what could never be. The story of betrayal is as old as bones are dry. The whispering wind is witness to love lost on this mountainside. My spirit has long since left the sadness of this place. But when the mountains rise to meet the moon's full silver face, remember then, my little one, and star fall so bright, and say my name, Belinda, when you see Brown Mountain's light.
Cleared it up. It's not a bloke.
No.
Definitely not a bloke.
Well, it could be, but with a name like Denise, it's more like
a lady. More like Denise Baxter, who's a lady, not a bloke.
Yeah.
So to clear that up. However, having said that, great piece of work.
Very good piece.
Yeah, superb. Thanks very much for sending that in, because it really is cracking. And my apologies.
Not like you, that, Neil.
It's not. It didn't come up on the set. I usually drop them in and the name comes up on the set.
You're still in the Lake District, really.
I am. My head's elsewhere. Yeah. It needs to get back in the game. Back in the game. And back in the room.
Absolutely.
Well, not quite in the room. And the sunshine.
We're back in the garden.
But I've got this guy's name, Bryce Wooderson, and it's called Lingua. I'm not quite sure you say it like that.
It's called what, Neil?
Lingua.
How do you pronounce that?
L-I-N-G-U-A.
Lingua.
Lingua.
Or Lingua.
Lingua. Anyway, have a listen. See what you think of Cuckoo. It's coming out here in a minute.
It's the captain of ships, the black sheep of all lips. It boasts of great things, both evil and holy, speaks judgment without knowing. It sings praises and spits curses. What can quote many holy verses can also destroy temples. It spreads like wildfire and releases quick tempers. The tongue stains the entire body, and there's nobody that can tame this beast. It's a door to the world of unrighteousness. Knowing the words I've spoken, I can only wonder how I was made in God's likeness. I'm ashamed that I speak the Spirit's thoughts through poetry with the same tongue I disobey it with. My fingernails are dirtier than ever before, and my mind goes fishing with lust. My tongue is the lure. If it's true that from the heart the mouth speaks, then I'm evil at the core. Every word I speak, I need mercy more and more. It's a liability to my faith, a black eye of my face. It's so ungodly, it's unworthy to even thank God for His grace. But I must. I can't resist the beauty of glory. It's the same tongue that can't help but tell of His story. I know that whether I proclaim Him or not, He will always fight for me. So even though it causes me to stumble, I will use it to encourage, nourish, take the scripture in and pour it, mix it, stir it, allow you to drink it. If others don't hear it, then how can they believe it? You see, it's a cursing and a blessing. It's proof that God can take anything poor and make it rich, anything weak and make it strong, anything wrong and make it right, anything dark and give it light, anything dead and raise it to life. The tongue is a tool designed to glorify God, but it's used by the fool. It has no ability to get us to heaven. It can only speak of its holiness. It does carry ability, though, to burn bridges and create for us loneliness. It's paradoxical, prodigal, and illogical, yet powerful and effective. Its nature is a reflection of the heart, so it's wise to protect it. Brittle it like you feed horses bits and pieces. Know what you feed it, otherwise you could end up defeated. I understand that no one understands. Just understand the misuse of the tongue could give Satan the upper hand. Pray for wisdom so you could speak what's been given to you. Speak of the God that was made flesh, died, resurrected, and now lives within you. So what does your tongue have to offer? Will it be known as a follower or as a mocker? How long will it proclaim Christ until your faith starts to dim? Who will it speak of first, yourself or of Him? Will it utter prayers for its enemies before it curses them dead? The answer to that lies behind the truth of which your heart has been fed. Will you lead it or neglect it, protect it or infect it, speak up or speak down? Will it speak meaning or will it simply speak sound? What does your tongue have to offer?
Well, there you go. I'm glad I didn't have to read that one live.
Mm.
That'd have been really difficult to
yeah.
do. There was
yeah, a cracking of passion behind that.
Oh, weren't they just? And the speed and the delivery was just superb.
First time on the show for that?
First time on the show for Bryce Woodison.
Yeah.
I recognise the voice, so I've listened to a few of his over the months, but really cracking piece. Yeah. That was really yeah. good. Now, moving on, I keep on promising a guy called Paul Point that I'm going to play this piece called Moving Through Walls. Now, it's about 9 minutes long, so stay with it, because it's a bit of a short story, this.
I was going to go get another glass of Pimm's.
Yeah, we can sit here, chill out, and kick back.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good. Have a listen to it, see what you think, Steve.
Okay.
Ronald Turner stubbed out a smoke in a plant pot caked in stale ash. Choked, the cactus that lived there was haggard and grayed bare by the stash of dog ends and toxic cinders, knowing only a life of dim light and locked windows. He was the kind of guy who hadn't earned his environment. He inherited it. In the same way an inmate inherits a ball and chain, it clung to him like a picture frame. Call him the product of it, a victim of impositions, he would call you a fool and drill down into your decisions that he sees as highlighting his abandoned ambitions, not as the tools that made bricks in the walls of cathedrals. No plans today. He got up anyway. He wasn't without skill, recalling odd facts and information at will, though often strained by tradition dull and mundane. Addiction lit another cigarette with a match, since his lighter was broken and out of gas, that metaphor echoing his feeling of disdain, which amused him at first, and then meandered through melancholy even worse at the start of one stormy Sunday. No desire today. He kept smoking anyway. Amongst others, he would often be the butt of all jokes, drawing the short straw and be labelled both the blackest of sheep and the friendliest ghost. He mirrored moons and planets he read of in a few books, the ones he envied for the peace he assumed they knew. Looks were exchanged, with an old mirror cracked, examining dents and cloak scars, facing the fact he never washed them away, flannelling water and scented soap bars. No one to impress today. He freshened up anyway. For him, life lived on a passing cloud. Hopes of grasping he coped without, tending to touch that empty feeling. The whispers of thrills that filled traces of breathing. He knew the world as a place he had no place in, and nestled himself in that negative space within. No one learnt the landscapes better than he, not even the astronomy he studied solidly when solitude grappled his mind and strangled his body.
Ronald doesn't need friends. Ronald has friends.
Ron had two friends. A plant that was full of bristly affection and a tattered mirror stained by his reflection. He talked daily with the friend suffering silently inside its pot, seemingly leaning to one side a lot. His only clock was a thing in the mirror deeply troubled by a tongue-tied knot, a fractured mosaic he ignored and so forgot. Time was a cruel companion, hungry like the sun, and he knew. Living here, you can understand, was the trophy of no self-respecting kind of man. Cleaning did not appeal, since no one was coming round. No one was coming round because he hadn't cleaned. The lounge, the kitchen, the bedroom, and all of these rooms with a distinct lack of headroom. This meant cigarette fumes would linger on like bad ideas, circling the ceiling with their silver jaundiced smears. This was his den, his hive, his cave, the domain for the last 10 years he'd stayed.
Ronald's house. Ronald makes the rules.
Home was a pallid tomb, wallpaper like the moon, and he knew. He orbited the room, restless, stretching both arms to a low-hanging ceiling, breathless in a flat that held true to its definition of meaning, and pondered a home that showed him the sky, half-heartedly asking the roof to slide to reveal the path that he should now climb, and no surprises, he was starved of a concrete reply. Returning to the room, he clutched both his sides as two lungs foretold a white-knuckle ride. Breath was one unreliable master, rhythm like asteroids on a belt, and he knew. They called him...
Oh, Mr. Old Crabby Old Halfwit.
Well, maybe it was true, but sadly he couldn't see past it. Past the window shelf, the doormat, and his former self, locked in an airtight, seamless cell of sunless day and moonless night, dwelling in shadows, incomplete, anxious, and broken, lost in retreat. The habits he knew were rusted screws gouging pine. Reasons to live were the hardest to find for a man in decline, when his roots and his spine shed a jagged lifeline. Lights jittered, and so did Ron. Comfort was often a hot mug of tea, and he absent-mindedly set about that routine. Through the days he would lose his temper as insecurity grows. Through the nights he would lose his teeth and security of clothes in dreams, subconsciously chased into closing walls and under attack. A fact echoed by the lean of a cactus waning under pain of biting back. Today was the day he would confront himself and leave the flat. Heartbeats quicken, and so did Ron. His self-esteem, compacted over time like the columns in his spine, had endured the scars of sparse opinions, and often called upon to build false dominions. He craved not to be fixed, but to be left alone in a world he dominated and controlled, since he'd only known relationships hollow or cold.
I don't wanna live like this no more,
he cried, shivering, wheezing with uneasy breathing. The past was blinding, but now he saw the walls, the floor, the crush of this ceiling. Weather mumbled, and so did Ron, on and on and on, sizing up the doorway to uncharted places. His mind hit the races with only a few paces, as the sight before him now, an oval balloon, like the image reflected in the back of a spoon, and soon rambling.
Door, mind over 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 door. Doors, 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 mind over doors, mind over doors.
He rehearsed, fear kicking in, and then adrenaline. Heartbeats don't return, they serve and they die. But he was going inside to meet fear alive and terrified. The wind whipped up another notch, rotten, reminding him it was not to be forgotten. Rattling, crackling, hinges unshackling. He stole a moment in that background sound, moving through walls in the flat, down, down, as vibration does and can. But for reasons he didn't fully understand, recalled tales of plants sprouting floors. Some people move mountains for their cause.
Mind over doors, mind over doors, mind over doors, mind over doors, mind over doors.
Throwing on a coat, hat and scarf, his best self awoke. He had one large pocket, snatched the cactus, not the smokes. He decided in a snap it was time to quit smoking. Perhaps rules were designed to be broken, just as doors were designed to swing open. Something clicked, cracked back the bracketing, snapped back the packaging, back, forward, back again. Jaw wide, eyes wider, the cue, the decider, time to leave all known things behind. And with that he fled in the direction of the door, unlocking it firmly to new forevers and more.
Mind over door.
Well, there you go, Paul Point, Moving Through Walls.
Mm.
Classic piece.
Good production.
Yes, yeah, love it. Great stuff. Nice one, Paul. Send us some more through, and we'll broadcast them, which is really good. That's it for this week. I can't believe 55 minutes has disappeared in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, Neil.
It has. And we've been sat out in the garden, beautiful sunshine.
Listen to the birds.
Yeah, the lawnmower occasionally.
The lawnmower, the dog barking.
Yeah, occasional car driving past. Yeah. But it all adds to the ambience.
And a pigeon's done its business on your head, Neil. I didn't want to tell you.
I'll wipe it off after.
Yeah. But what I would like to say, Neil, before we close the show for this week, is thank you to you for putting yourself out there.
Yep.
Great poem, poor teeth, but you got there in the end.
Right. I'll put my proper teeth in next time.
Yeah, put somebody else's teeth in, I think.
Stop breaking these in for the dog. It'll be fine.
Lovely poem, Neil, and thanks for doing that live.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for introducing it.
Yep.
It was good. Right, well, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. And as we say, week in, week out, may your God or your gods go with you. And it's good night from me, and it's good night from him.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night.